Today we're on page 91. That's the sermon notes page for this upcoming week. And you can turn there and take some notes on what we talk about here this morning. And then just continue to do your prayer journal and things as the week unfolds. And hopefully you'll be in part of a small group later in the week that'll help you even more. I don't know how many of you are here that can remember as I do. If you're as old as I am, you'll remember this. Many of you probably, not probably, you are much younger than I am, so maybe you don't have a memory about this, so let me just help you with it. I remember back when I was just a youngster, very early 70s, I think. I remember we got a brand new television. And it was big, 19 inches. Man. And I remember, you know, what great, I mean, it was just awesome. It was a zenith. I do remember that. I do remember after a while, though, it got to where the tuner knob didn't work quite as good, and you had to actually jam a pack of the paper matches back behind the tuner so that it would, you know, get it just right to where it would actually tune in. Anybody else ever have that? That was the tech, that was the high tech back then. But I remember this TV. It was just incredible. I just loved it. And then after we got married and, you know, we had our own home and everything, I've always been known in my family. I always liked to have a nice TV. I just enjoy sports and stuff so much. And I remember some many years ago, actually, Arlene and I, we bought a 40-inch Sony television. It weighed 7,000 pounds. I still don't know why this thing was as heavy as it was. It was just huge. I mean, you had to have an industrial-sized cabinet to put it in. But I remember having that TV, and we even had it for many years after it quit working because it was just too big to move. You know? And, now, I mean, now you have high def, you know. The TV over here in the cafe, if you want to go over there, the service is actually over on that TV right now. And you can watch it. It's 85 inches, 4K, high def. Oh, it's amazing. We have our Wednesday night service over there, and we use that TV. And I kidded the people and said, you know, I take this home during the week, and then I bring it back on the weekend. I didn't see a lot of TV. I remember the first 3D movie you ever saw? You know, they give you the glasses, and you put the glasses on, and all of a sudden you feel like that, you know, you're not seeing things flat. You're seeing things in three dimensions. I remember a few years ago, we were on vacation, and we went to a theater that was 5K. Not 5K, 5D. And I'm thinking, what's 5D? I didn't know what that was. And what it was like 3D. In other words, you saw all the different, you know, images in 3D. But then what it did, it added to it that the theater itself would move. I remember seeing an earthquake at one time, and, you know, it actually moved. The theater did. And then the fifth dimension was that, they didn't tell you this, but at one point a boat comes on the screen and it throws water, and there was a little nozzle in the seat in front of you that squirted water in your face. It was like, you know, and it was like all these different things. I remember that, you know, so much. I remember watching the new Star Wars movie last year in 3D, and at one time, you know, the Millennial Falcon kind of screamed off the screen, and as it went back over our head, you know, you could actually see it, and you could hear it on that sound on either side of the theater, and as it went over my head, I went, whoa! You know, I leaned like, what's wrong? You're like, that almost hit us. You know, it seems that real. Now, think about this for a moment. I really want you to get this in your mind before we go any further. We live in a time where there's certain things that aren't real that we think they are. And then there's certain things that really are real and we're not so sure. But then I think the devil can convince us. You know, you ever seen a movie that was just so scary that it was just incredible? Arlene and I was at the theater not too long ago, and a movie trailer came on for The Nun. I'm not going to ask you if you saw this, so I don't want to know. But this scary movie's been out. I think it may even still be out, and it's called The Nun. And I said to Arlene, I said, "Man, that looks incredibly intense and scary." And she's like, "No, we're not going to see that. You know, and you probably shouldn't." But anyway, we there's things that are not real that the world convinces us are real. And then there's certain things about God that we know are real, but the world treats them as if they're not real. I kind of think that's what it is when we're talking about this prayer, this subject of prayer this morning. And here's what I want to do with you today, and we've got a lot of things to cover, but you need to understand that God is a multidimensional God. That God wants to use every sense that you have, that we have, to know Him and to experience Him. And He wants us to experience it in real life. For example, you know, I think God is multidimensional in the sense that we see Him in His creation. We see God in His creation. Romans 1:20 says, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen in what has been made, so that men are without excuse." In other words, if we didn't have anything other than creation, we should be able to be convinced of the reality of God, that God is real. Friday night, I was on my way home after a local football game, and I got in my car, and I started home, and I saw the moon. Did anybody see the moon Friday night? Oh my gosh, it was incredible. It was like a half moon, but it wasn't a crescent moon. It was just like half moon, and it was right down on the horizon, and it was just huge, and it was beautiful. And as I was driving, I was like just praising God at that beautiful moon. And I called my daughter in Tennessee, and I said, "Hey, Sarah," and she said, "Hey, Dad, what's up?" And I said, "Hey, did you see the moon tonight?" She said, "No, I didn't see the moon." I said, "Honey, just go outside and look at the moon." And she said, "Dad, I can't right now. I'm doing something with the baby." And I said, "Lay the baby down and go outside and look at the moon. I will later on that." "No, while I'm on the phone, you go outside and look at the moon." So she goes out to look at the moon. You know, she finally does what I asked her to do. And she sees the moon. And you know what, for the life of me, you know what I thought? And here I am. I'm 600 miles away from her. And she and I are looking at the same moon. I said, "Honey, isn't it amazing that you're 600 miles away from me, but we're looking at the same moon?" She says, okay. I said, isn't God amazing? Job 11, look at what it says, verse 7. It says, "Can you fathom the limits and bounds of the greatness and power of God? The sky is no limit for God, but it lies beyond your reach. God knows the world of the dead, but you do not know it. God's greatness is broader than the earth and wider than the sea." Here's another thing. Multidimensional God, the ways that He speaks to us. We see it in creation. We also see it in the incarnation of Jesus. That God Himself stepped out of heaven and came and lived among us. John 1, verse 14 says that the Word became a human being and lived among us. Some version says the Word became flesh. We saw His grace, and He was full of grace and mercy. You see, God is a multidimensional God, and He speaks to us in many ways. It's not just a story in a book. It's not just about the past. It's not just about what God did in creation and what we see when we look at creation. But it's also what we see when we look at the incarnation of Jesus coming and living among us. That's why Hebrews says in chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I submit to you, and I find this interesting. Why did he not say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Would it have been the same? You know, tomorrow is always in the future. Why did he use the word forever? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's talking about the vastness of God. He's talking about the reality of God, that he's not just a person from history, but he's a person from the present, and he's a person of every moment in time. Revelation 1 says this, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come. He's a multidimensional God. We see it in creation. We see it in the incarnation. We also see it in how the Holy Spirit moves in our lives today. You know, in the Old Testament, it was God the Father. New Testament was God the Son. But when Jesus Christ lived and died and was resurrected and went back to heaven, He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you alone. I will send a Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And we still have Him speaking to us today in that way. John chapter 3, verse 8 speaks to this when it says that the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear sound, but you don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. That's the way it is with everyone born of the Holy Spirit. Job speaks this same thing in chapter 9 when he says, He does wonders that cannot be understood. He does so many miracles that cannot be counted. When He passes me, I can't see Him. And when He goes by me, I don't recognize Him. You see what I'm saying? We pray to a multi-dimensional God. He's just not the God of the universe in the past. He's the God who's still with us right now in the present and for all of the days that we have in the future. Isn't that awesome? You know, but He calls God as this multi-dimensional God. That's what we enjoy in prayer. You know, you're not just praying to the God of creation. You're praying to the God of creation and the God of redemption through the incarnation of Jesus. You're not just praying to the God of creation and the incarnation, but you're praying to the God who's still with us today in all of His glory in the person of the Holy Spirit. So as we talk to God, think about this for a moment. What is the overriding message that God wants you and I to get, to understand, and to accept as we are praying to this multidimensional God? What's the biggest thing that He wants us to know? And you know what? You might come up with something different. There'd be a lot of things that we could talk about. But in my mind, here's the overriding message from God. You're not alone. I'm not alone. God is here with me. God is living this life with me. He's living this life through me. And He's helping me with everything that I experience in life. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 7 through 12. Look at this. He says, where can I go to escape from You? Where could I ever get away from Your presence? I went up to heaven, You'd be there. I lay down in the world of the dead. Isn't that an interesting phrase? You'd be there. If I flew way beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, You'd be there to lead me. He goes on, You'd be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, but even darkness is not dark for You. And the light is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to You. Isn't this a beautiful concept? You know, we live in a world today where the devil is trying to convince us that the things that are not real are real, and the things that really are real are less real. You see, that's why I think we feel like that we have this darkness over us. You see, here's what I think. This is my opinion, but I really believe this. You know, the older I get, I refer back to like my parents and grandparents, everybody talks about the good old days. Man, these things used to be different. You know, families were different. We loved each other better. You know, we served God better. You know, the schools were better. Certainly the government was better. You know, all this kind of stuff. But if I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if I believe that God is never changing, if there's something different about the way we experience and understand the presence of God today, then whose fault is it? I should be able to experience the goodness, the greatness, the reality of God in today's culture and in today's time as good as it's ever been experienced. And if I'm not, God hasn't changed. I think we're the ones that have changed. Matter of fact, if you think about this idea about darkness and light, you know, God wants to light our way. I came in here to the church a couple weeks ago, and it was at night. I'd left something here by mistake, and I walked in downstairs, and I came up, and I came in the doorway that you see over here. And there's no light switch over there at that door. And I came in, and I thought, oh, there's no light switch. But as I was coming by the chairs there, right there where Adam's sitting, I caught my foot on the edge of that chair and almost fell down on my face. And I got to my feet. So I'm going to walk over here, and there's light switches there. And I thought, no, you know, this is straight shot down. I don't need to turn the light on. If I turn them on, it's got to turn back off. So I thought, I'll just walk back down through there in the darkness, and I'll find my way out there. So I started down that way. You see that big beam right there? You know, I actually knocked some hair off the side of my head. See there? I ran into that, and then I overcorrected, and I came over, and I tripped over the edge of this row of seats back there. I look like a drone man going back and forth, trying to find my way back through this church here. And I'm thinking, you know, here's the thing. I have all this light all around me. Just turn it on, John. And sometimes I think that's what he's talking about here. When we talk about a dark world, a dark time, we wish things were different. There's no darkness to God. And if we're experiencing a darkness in our lives, it's probably because of something we're doing. We're doing different. So think about this for a moment, okay? Because God is this multi-dimensional God, I experience Him at every turn. In other words, I can look backward. I can look backward to the cross. And I can realize what God did for me there. 1 Peter 1:18, God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. You feel like your life's empty? God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. I look back to the cross. I look up to the Father's loving face. You know, where not only does God show His love through what Jesus did for me, all I have to do is to look at Him and approach Him as He asks me to. And I know that He's a loving Father. Romans 8 says you should not act like cowering, fearful slaves. Since God's Spirit has adopted you as children into God's family. Instead, by His Spirit, we simply cry out, Abba, Father. And God's Spirit affirms that we really are His children. And since we are now God's child, we're also heirs of Christ, and will share in both His suffering and in His glory. So here you go, folks. God is a multi-dimensional God. And because He is, here's the way He wants your prayers to be. First of all, He wants them to be personal. Abba, Father, that we declare to Him that He is our Papa. He is our heavenly Father. That's the way He wants our prayers to be. He doesn't want our prayers to just simply be one-dimensional, that, oh, you know what, the Bible tells me about God and how God was the Creator and all this. No, He's not only a Creator, but He's the Redeemer. He's our friend. He's our Abba. He's our Father. He wants our prayers to be passionate. He wants us to cry out to Him, to give our requests to Him. to give our petitions to Him. He wants our voice to come up an octave and say, you know what, Abba Father, we need You. You are the God to which darkness and light, there is no difference. Is God the Father that to you in your prayers, personal, passionate? Or by His Spirit, you know, are they in fact a partnership? That not only are they one-dimensional as far as the past, but they're multi-dimensional in how He loves me and compassionate towards me and is in partnership with me to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Let's see what the New Testament says about the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans 8:26, also the Holy Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. We often do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit Himself speaks to God for us, even begs God on our behalf with deep groanings and feelings that words cannot express. You ever had a situation like that? Didn't know how to pray? Didn't know what to say? Not too awful long ago, Arlene and I were traveling, and actually we were on our way home, and we were in a taxi on our way back to the airport. And I received a call, a very troubling call, from a member of someone in my family. She shared with me an awful situation. Awful situation. And as they shared this with me, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what they were going to go through. And I just didn't know what to say. It was just so shocking and so, we just couldn't understand it. And, you know, how do you make sense of it and all this? And Arlene's on the, she's there with me, and she could tell that there was some kind of conversation. Man, something bad is wrong. But all she could hear was my side of the conversation. And she was getting more and more worried as we were doing this. And when finally I hung up, she says to me, she says, honey, she says, what in the world is wrong? Couldn't tell. Couldn't talk about it. Didn't understand it. Didn't know how it was going to turn out. Didn't affect her and I at all, but just affected people that we loved. She said, honey, please tell me what's going on. And even though I couldn't even speak, my spirit prayed. Prayed for the people that I loved and cared about. See, that's multidimensional. That's not just a flat kind of prayer where you believe that, you know, that the Bible talks about a particular God. But it's knowing that you experience Him in life all the time. You know, I also think that we can look inward. You know, we can look back, we can look up, we can look inside at the work of the Holy Spirit, but we can also look inward to Jesus Christ living inside of us. Look at what He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, examine yourselves to see if your faith is real and growing. Test yourself. Remember that Jesus is living in you unless you've failed the test. Examine yourself. See if your faith is what? If your faith is real and growing. This multi-dimensional God wants us to experience Him in all sorts of different ways. Proverbs chapter 28 says, if you try to hide your sins, you'll never succeed, but if you humbly confess and reject them, you will receive mercy. You never deal with things in a real way. Here, let me give you just a couple more. You know, we can look in all these different... We can also look around. We can look around and ask the Holy Spirit to use us. You know, we can look inward and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. We can look around and we can say, you know what, Holy Spirit, use me. I asked the people last Wednesday night at our meeting, I said, do you ever realize how many prayers that you pray that you could actually be the answer to? You know, God, please, please be with Miss So-and-so across the street, Lord. She's lonely. She needs somebody to encourage her and help her. God, send somebody. Right? You know, dear Lord, be with so-and-so. They're really struggling. Don't even think they have money for food. I mean, have you ever just stopped to realize how many times you pray for things to happen in the lives, in your own life, or in the lives of other people, when you could readily be the answer to that prayer? You see, that's the invitation of God. Romans 6 says, give yourself completely to God. Every part of you, look at that, every part of you, since you've been given a new life, and you want to be used as a tool in the hands of God. You want to be used as a tool in the hands of God, used for His good purposes. So see, we look back and we look up and we look in to this Holy Spirit and how Jesus works in us, but also we look forward. We look forward to the future and the faith that we have in God. Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6, I'm confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you have that kind of confidence in God? So, God is a multidimensional God who wants us to look in all kinds of different ways and experience that He's still here. You know what, folks? We have a beautiful example of this every week when we come together with communion. I'm going to show you just a minute, but one of the verses in the New Testament says, do this in remembrance of me. Have you ever wondered why Jesus actually gave a cup? I mean, have you ever wondered why we actually give you a cup, juice, and an actual physical small piece of unleavened bread? I mean, if it says, remember me this way, why do we have something physical? He wants us to experience it with our senses. You know, you see the color of the juice and you think about the blood of Jesus Christ. You see the bread and you think about the broken body of Jesus. You smell what it smells like. You taste it with your lips, with your mouth. You swallow it. You ingest it. You digest it, and it becomes a part of you. You know, I think communion is in and of itself a wonderful experience of the multidimensional God that we serve. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:27, He says, if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. This is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. He goes on and he says, for if you eat the bread or drink the cup without recognizing, committing to the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some of you have even died. But if you examine and judge ourselves, we will not be judged by God. I mean, think about that, folks. We offer every week that if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, the invitation is open for you to partake. But do you know that if you're not a Christian, you shouldn't partake? If you're not a believer, you should not partake of the loaf and the cup. You know why? Because you've not stepped across that line of faith yet. It only makes sense. We're talking about taking it in an unworthy manner. I think the warning here is for Christians, if we do it without thinking about what Christ has done for us, we take it in an unworthy manner. But also, if you're not a believer and you take it just because it's being passed, just because it's something to eat or whatever, that's unworthy as well. God wants us to experience Him in a real way. Psalm 139, I love it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Here is a great prayer from the book of Psalms that you and I can pray every time when we partake of the Lord's Supper. I've got the loaf, I've got the cup in front of me, and I say, God, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and God, lead me in the way everlasting. What a beautiful prayer to pray. And it makes God a reality in your life today. I'm not going to spend any time on these at all, but let me just give you some reasons why communion is this to us. God is a multidimensional God. Let me give you some reasons why I think that we have the physical elements in front of us, that Jesus gave us these elements and said, use these, take of these, and remember me. Here's the reason. Let me just listen for you. Number one, because no one loves you more than your Father in heaven. I mean, just to hold that cup, to hold that piece of bread, to think about His blood, about His body, and to realize all the sacrifices, all the things that Jesus Christ did. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, I received from the Lord that which I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, when the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. When we partake, there's no one loves us as much as our Heavenly Father. Number two, multidimensional. It's because we belong to each other in God's family. Do you know nowhere in Scripture does it ever encourage an individual person to partake of the Lord's Supper? Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, he criticized the church at Corinth for a couple of things. Number one, because they weren't united. So when you come together, you say, you know, you follow this guy, you follow that guy. He criticized them because they were not united. And he also criticized them, what? Because they didn't wait on each other to partake of the Lord's Supper. Here, look at what he says here in chapter 11, verse 18. He said, I hear that there are divisions, there's the unity among you when you meet as a church. So when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. Wait a minute, I thought they were taking the Lord's Supper. He said it ceased to be the Lord's Supper for them because you go ahead without waiting for anybody else. One member goes hungry while another gets drunk. Wow. 1 Corinthians 11:33, so dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for one another. Number three, I think he also teaches us that the Spirit of Jesus lives inside of me. I mean, isn't that exactly what John 6:56 says? Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I live in them. The living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. Wow. Number four, we need to know that this life is not the end of the story. I mean, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we celebrate, when we talk, when we pray to this multidimensional God, we know that this is not the end of the story, that there's something beyond this life. John 6, look what he says. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But those who eat My flesh and drink My blood have eternal life, and I will raise them at the last day. A multidimensional God. I can look up at the heavens. I can look back at the cross. I can look inward and be thankful for the Holy Spirit. But each week, I remember Jesus as He's asked me to. And it's not just about me, it's about us. And it's not just about us, it's about all of us for all of eternity. Here's the fifth thing, finally. We need to realize that Jesus is coming back one day to judge and to reward. You see, God's story is not over yet. I mean, we may believe the lie of the devil and believe things that are not real and think they are real. And the things that are really real, we may wonder whether they're real or not. But this God is still speaking today. He's still speaking to us today. We can still cry out to Him today. And the story is not over because one day He's coming back. Every week when we take the Lord's Supper, we know this. In chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, verse 26, it says, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes. So I ask you, and I close with this, who is God to you? Is He just a a historical figure? Who is God to you? When we pray to Him, who are we praying to? Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible says, no eyes seen, no ears heard, not even entered into the heart and the minds of men, what God will do for us, for those that love Him. And you think about the most elaborate kind of presentation that can be given on this planet, and it pales into comparison to how real God is. And the sad thing is that we seem to be getting so much further away that we don't notice those realities. So as we pray to Him, as we remember Him each week here in the Lord's Supper, let's make the commitment that He is a marvelous God, and He should be as real to me today as in any time in history, because He never changes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just stop here, Lord, at the end of this message. And we just declare, Lord, that it's so easy to believe the lie of the devil. The same lie told Adam and Eve in the garden. Basically, that what you told them, that's not true. God, here we are today looking at all these passages that You are our Father in heaven, that You are never changing, that Your promise is that You will always be with us, that we are never alone, that we have Your Spirit, that we have Your strength, we have it for all of our lives and for all of eternity. And God, if all those things are true, then why do we sometimes feel like we're in the dark? I think in simple terms, it's just simply because we don't invite the God whose darkness and light is no difference to Him, that we do not cultivate the kind of relationship and the kind of conversation with Him that would shine a bright light into all the dark places of our world. So Lord, convince us today of the need for that and of the blessing of that. As we sing, Lord, this wonderful song about beholding You, God, may these truths become so real before us today. In Jesus' holy name.